Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Mega Rand, and this is Random Encounters. This is where I take a few moments to talk to you about someone that I find interesting. Could be someone you know, maybe someone you don't know. But either way, you're going to learn something. So my guest today, on the 7th day of April, 2021, is Toray Masters.
Yes, sir.
MC, rapper, activist, Phoenix, Arizona, representing.
For sure.
And, a good dude, but I want to get started with the very beginning. So, Toray, do you remember how you and me met?
I kind of feel like it was at Phoenix College.
PC. I think so. I couldn't remember that either. I was just like, I think it was Phoenix
College. I know that's when I first seen your music video. They played it at the Hip Hop DeVote Summit. You was like watching,
oh, wow.
Watching dishes in the back. Some, I forgot what video it was.
Yeah, that was Push. That's funny. Yeah. Washing dishes. That's the first video I shot out here.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, that's when I met Rocky Tyree, too. He performed with me as well.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so the Hip Hop DeVote Summit. You've been active and involved with a lot of events at Phoenix College. Can we talk about your involvement with them? Like, what's your history with Phoenix College?
Okay, so it was like my first college experience going to Phoenix College. I was just on campus, you know, I'm very open to different things. The president at the time, Michael Williams, was the president of the BSU. And he just walked up. He was recruiting people to join BSU to vote for him to be president for his next term. So, you know, I went and a lot of people came with me just off the strength of friends, you know, following friends. And I guess he's seen a lot of potential in me at the time. So next term, he appointed me as president. And that kind of locked me in for a lot of different opportunities to come, such as the Hip Hop DeVote Summit, HBCU College Fairs, our Divine Nine Step Team, a ton of different events that I got to lead and speak at and even get my music played at some.
Nice. What was your focus over there? Like, was it a certain major or concentration that you were doing?
Honestly, my main school goal was just to not give up on it. It was more so like for family, just to give them something, you know, to always be proud of. And then over time, I fell in love with, you know, different like world politics and the world religion. And then I started my major at journalism. I switched it to music and then I landed in fashion and pursued fashion for my remainder of college, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty dope. That's pretty dope.
So just to stay active, really.
Okay, I feel that. I was the same. I was journalism for a minute.
Mm.
I was pre-med for a minute.
Woo.
I was, yeah, then I realized I couldn't handle that. I didn't like science, and so I couldn't do anything. Like, you can't do nothing if you don't like science.
Especially science.
Yeah, so then I went into African-American history. Then English. And then I realized a lot of those courses were really close to each other.
For sure.
So it kept me kind of like really close to getting a degree in that. So I wound up with a degree in African American Studies.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That was one of my first, like, I took African American Literature with Dr. Westenberg, and she was already our, like, the head over our BSU. So it was just a good relationship builder. I definitely learned a lot of, you know, she was harder than my English teacher. So on essays or requirements were just way more higher. It was just really crazy to have that kind of mentor with me. So that class really helped.
Yeah, Dr. Westenberg is super dope.
Amazing.
She's been like such a help and such a mentor to so many in the scene.
Like to everyone, yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah. So I remember the first time I saw you perform, I saw you holding a wrestling belt. And I was like, oh, wow, like, he's really into this. Okay. And, like, I hadn't seen any rappers with wrestling belts since, I don't know if you remember Pastor Troy.
And of course, yeah.
But he was the OG.
He did
always carry the big gold. And every time I DJ, I play, he got this track where he samples Goldberg themes.
Does he?
And it's so hard. Oh, my God.
Pastors.
It's so, so it's like, it's got him chanting, like, Pastor.
That's genius.
It's so
hard. I would have never thought.
Yeah. So I remember him being like the OG wrestling fan, like not being afraid to like wear that on stage and like and rep that.
For sure.
When did you fall in love with wrestling? One and two, like what gave you the courage to kind of bring that to music? Because a lot of people, at least in my world, kind of look down on wrestling. You know, they look at it like, ah, this is that's fake. It's dumb. It's for kids. It's not real. You know,
all of that.
So that's like the opposite of what hip hop is supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? So first of all, what's your first like wrestling memory? And then like, where did you get the courage to kind of put them together?
I think my first wrestling memory is Triple H versus Kane. And I think they're trying to set each other on fire. And he sets Kane's glove on fire. So I was like, oh, that was an easy way out. So I thought they're gonna really set someone on fire. But I think The Rock is he's like the one that just opened the door for me. Just seeing him, just mic control. As an artist, I always liked how people spoke into the microphone or carried themselves. It was just really cool to see him just be as amazing as he was. And then it was just funny. All of it, I just really liked a lot about it. The whole it's fake didn't really kick in until like later.
Okay.
Of course.
Do you remember the first time you brought a belt like on stage and like did anybody say something like, yo, what are you doing? Like
I went and got a little small belt. I didn't know nothing about the real like the big belts. Mm-hmm. I had a small like a little Toys R Us belt and I brought it out on stage, House of Blues Rialto Theater in Tucson when I was opening for Dom Kennedy and the crowd just went crazy. Because before I had the belt, I had the Money in the Bank suitcase. And that was like my first thing.
Yeah. Okay. I remember that.
I had the Money in the Bank suitcase. And then I was gifted the title, my first belt for my project, Finally Champion. So it was I just had to keep it. It just became a part of me.
Word. So let's talk about hip hop and your relationship with hip hop and
how
it started. Like, was there an artist that you saw that kind of made you want to do this? Or just like something that wasn't going on in the neighborhood and you're like, yo, I got to get involved with this. Like what got you, like got your pen moving in that direction?
Well, I grew up, my uncle lived with me growing up and he was a rap artist, Tejai Magarcia. They call him Swift. And he was always rapping and playing his music in the morning while we were cleaning and all that stuff. So I always felt like it was just real cool to me having someone older than me doing that. But at the time I thought you'd have to like grow up and then be a rapper. And then I seen Bow Wow rapping as a kid, and that kind of just set it off for me. That's when I just started writing and trying to be anywhere I can be and rap and be seen growing up. But it really didn't like hit till high school, and I had a song. It started going from school to school to school, and it just turned into my thing, rapping and skateboarding.
That's what's up, man. So another thing I noticed in your music is that you are, I guess, kind of like myself and a lot of guys that I came up with rapping, whereas I feel like your music is overly conscious. It's overly spiritual. It always has a message to it. But also, you're a guy who's like very streetwise. Like, you know what's up. You've seen some things. You know some things. You know some guys.
Yeah.
You know, may have done some things.
Oh, man.
So what's it like trying to keep that balance of like positivity amongst like, you know, the world and what you're seeing and
what's hype right now, what's cool.
I
see it as a sacrifice, really, choosing to be the positive artist, the one that, you know, isn't really falling into the hype and doing what's cool just because it's cool, disregarding how important it is to tell someone to do the right thing or to it's okay to feel the certain way you feel and all that. So it's not more so balance to me, it's just losing one part to have more on another part. To me, I mean, if I was really like dying to be cool, I'd just go do what a lot of other rappers are doing, you know?
Yeah. So you've never felt the, I guess, temptation on that side to be like, oh man, like, this is what people want to hear.
Oh
like,
man.
You know what I mean? Let me just give them that.
Yeah, that's every time. I always feel that though, because it's like I could just so easily be, you know, what's hype or what's cool. But I feel like when I was in that mindset, I was really just trying to impress rappers and friends versus growing my own fan base and doing and building my own sound and just doing what is actually helping and what's actually being accepted.
No doubt.
So I had to choose up.
Yeah, yeah. So you've been in the Phoenix scene. You're born and raised here in Phoenix?
Born and raised in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, you're like one of the few people that I know that have been born and raised in, out in this city and have like seen the scene, you know, for all it's been. So what was Arizona's rap scene like kind of when you started as opposed to like what it's like now? In your
opinion? Oh, man. The era that I came up in was so different, I think. Because I think it was after Willie North Pole, and there wasn't really much above me going on, I would say. Besides you and Rocky Tirade, after seeing him doing all he was doing on Sway, and you touring and videos and Comic Cons and all that amazing stuff you're doing. But I felt like the era where it was just me, at the time, it was really just MySpace songs and house parties. That's what it seemed like. That's like the era we came up in. So it was like me, Diaz, Deli, Futuristic was a part of that, and J-Mark. Mm-hmm. So it was really just us, it seemed like. And it was a whole crazy era. We were, you know, competing with each other, performing at house parties, and it was just nuts. It was real different. It was more hands-on, I think, now that the social media is taking over and you can buy followers and buy views and everything. It's just real different.
Yeah, it's very different. It was dope to see you guys coming up at that time. Like, I was an older cat, but I'd moved here, I guess, now it's been about 11, 12 years.
Yeah.
And so I was here seeing Willie and seeing that bubble and, like, seeing the city get behind that.
Yeah.
And then wondering what was the next wave, like, what was going to be the next thing, because everybody was kind of, like, stuck. Like, you know, I wrote about it in my book where I feel like people maybe got a little discouraged kind of after Willie, being like, oh man, like what's it gonna take, you know, for some ears to get on this scene, you know. And and then seeing like Futuristic kind of bubble up, and you and Deli were working, so I got really excited about the scene and where it was going. You know, I feel like y'all's scene, you know, whether it was the house parties or just, you know, building your chops doing that, I think made a lot of people better. You know, having that competition and those people around. Because even when I started, I was looking up at Willie and the guys. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there wasn't really a middle ground. It was just going through the roof or playing for 12 people at the, you know, at the local bar. So I didn't really see anything else in the scene. So it just kind of, you know, but we were all, like, homies and doing our thing. But, yeah, like, it's dope to see that y'all had a you know, like a friendly competition that was able to build everybody.
We all worked together. We performed together, all of us. And a lot of the generation, like artists under us, are saying that we really inspired them to keep going. So I feel like our little era that we went through, me, Deli, Kiez, Futuristic, EBAT, I feel like it's a very important era. I think someone's going to speak on it and it's really going to make an impact soon.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's going to be something to talk about.
Yeah. So let's talk about this new album.
Yeah.
Winning Wars Every Day. Now, I noticed that the initials of that is WWE. So this is and I love the album. I love the record. I got involved with it because I love it. I think it's super dope. I love the concept. So maybe you could tell the people who may not know.
Yeah.
What's the concept? What's this about?
Okay, so it's see, me, I'm just so open-minded. I got like different reasons for everything all over the place. So it started off with me and how I feel like there's wars every day that we overcome, and there's a lot of blessings we take for granted. And then I'm like, I can't be the only one feeling this way. So I went to people like me and then my people, and I was like, yeah, this is like the struggle of a African-American, really, is this. You have to win wars every day. You need to make as many opportunities as you can for yourself and take advantage. And I'm like, where is like the biggest place for me where I feel like we struggle and still succeed? And it was like the WWE was just like the perfect metaphor for me. Just and I just seen an interview of Stone Cold speaking about it. He agreed that there was a lack of African-American success, but his reason was saying that there wasn't enough of us involved in the WWE. That's what he said. And he said that.
What do you think about that? Do you think that's on point? Like, what do you think?
I was thinking, I was like, okay, that was like if that's the answer that I would have to go with, I figured it would make sense. There wasn't enough of us to take the amount of opportunities I was given, I guess. And I see now that it's like we're all over the WWE now, from mm-hmm. tag team titles to intercontinental titles to the two big ones. So maybe he was right. Maybe someone heard him. But
I guess it's a good point. I remember Chris Rock saying in a comedy special that we'll know that racism is like fixed in sports when like you got a black coach that can like lose their job and then get hired right away. Or like, you know what I'm saying? Like be garbage and then keep getting jobs.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because that's constantly what happens with white people.
They just lose the job, get hired over here. Yeah.
Get hired right back. So he's like, when you get black coaches that have been to like 10, 12 teams, you know what I mean? Like maybe then you'll be like, okay, so maybe there's something changing.
Yeah.
So that's a really good point. So as black people, I don't feel like we get a chance to be mediocre because we got to be the best.
Exactly. We have to over exceed.
Yeah, we have to be 120% of what somebody expects. So for him to say there's not enough, maybe there's not enough because there's no like bad black wrestlers. There's no average black wrestler to then be like, oh, well, the great black wrestler gets the opportunity. So maybe there needs to be 100 black wrestlers in order to see that. You know what I'm saying? I think that to mean maybe that's it.
It's heavy for sure. So, but right now we're in a great spot. I think like there's a lot of amazing things going on. A lot of
to be happy about. We're in a great spot. And so when this came out, this was it was Black History Month.
Yes, sir.
And a lot of great things at that time were happening. Some of them are kind of not around anymore. We had the Hurt Business popping. They all had gold.
Bianca was blowing up.
Bianca
Street made Profits.
A great come up. Street Profits had gold. Like everything was really, really moving. So I do think we're in a really good spot for black wrestlers. And we're seeing that I think black wrestlers have been more vocal about like what it means to be black,
which is crazy. Like, yeah,
it's dope to see, you know. So coming up before these guys, I noticed you have references to Booker T on the record, Mark Henry, Crime Time, and all that. So when you picked topics for this record, was it just based on like who your favorites were, who you maybe built a story out of?
It was
how did that process?
It was more so off their character and my relations to them. Like Mark Henry being the strongest man in the world, I kind of took that and put it over the black man in general and on how, you know, we get beat up mentally, emotionally, and physically on a daily basis. And we still get up and continue to dream or work, which is very, very amazing to me. And Booker T, a champion, like you keep winning, but you keep losing, but you always come back and you still make that same impact. You're still someone's favorite. It's just, I mean, it was just amazing to connect with them and be able to relate to them and create off just ideas that I had because of their characters.
Yeah, man. The songs are great. The pieces of, like, the clips and things. Did you pick all this stuff yourself?
Yeah,
like,
all of it. I picked the clips, picked the placements, and just wrote everything.
Wow, that was crazy. Dope. And tell me about Rocky White, who did all the beats.
Rocky White. So someone on Instagram, I really wish I knew who it was, that they were like, yo, I have a friend from Philly. You should link up with him and do some beats. So he started sending me beats. I did a project. He produced two songs on it, Community Restoration in Progress. That was a good project I just did with him and Vex Brown, who just passed away. Did you know Vex? Vex Brown?
I didn't know him personally, but I heard about him a lot.
Yeah, so he produced on that project as well. And then once we built the relationship, he would send me beats, I'd do songs and send them right back. He would always really highlight how I get the songs back to him. He says he sends songs to a lot of rappers and they don't never send a song back or they never get on the beats and stuff. So he was really appreciative of my work ethic. And we just agreed to do a song. I told him to send me these beats. And then the idea just gave me the wrestling idea. I shared that with him. He moved. In the process, he was moving to Germany. So it's all been kind of crazy.
I didn't know he was from Philly.
Yeah.
When you initially said Germany, I was like, oh, he's German.
Oh, he moved out there.
I thought he was German. Okay, so he's not German.
No. He's out there, trying to start his own wave, hip hop wave with that sound out there. That's
crazy. So he's from Philly.
Word. If not Philly, Pennsylvania for sure.
Okay, word.
For sure, yeah.
Rocky White, check him out. The beats are very, very dope.
It's nuts,
man. It's cool to hear how y'all built the relationship, based on just working together, taking each other's work and work ethic. And that's tight, man. Is he a wrestling fan as well?
He's a wrestling fan as well. And his dad is like an Olympic wrestler I don't know his dad. I forgot his dad's name, but his dad was like a wrestler for the Olympics. So I guess that kind of, and he wrestled as well. He wrestled in high school and college. So it's pretty nuts. Wow. Yeah. So for
that's crazy.
For that to happen the way it did, it's just crazy.
Wow. So the record is doing what it do. I let anybody hear it that I know is going to love wrestling and hip hop.
Oh, for sure.
And they've really been loving it. So just today we saw some props from Naomi.
What in the world?
Who just retweeted the joint saying that she's going to play this on the way to WrestleMania. So that's pretty crazy.
Oh, man. Blowing up. That's nuts.
How do you feel about that? There's a ton of mentions of great wrestlers and pretty much anybody in the company now that's doing their thing.
Yeah.
Especially that are black. So they get a lot of mentions on here. So, but how does it feel to get kind of recognized?
To get recognized. And then especially for that song, Your World, I definitely wanted to highlight black women and their struggles and their successes. So for that song to be the song that made an impact the way it did, it's just special. Being raised by women, always around women all my life, it's just really cool for that kind of acknowledgement to know that that's what I represent in my music and my art. And from Naomi, that's nuts. I remember seeing her win the title of Black History Month. She won in February, which is extremely crazy. Didn't know if that was on purpose or not, but it was dope that it happened.
I don't know, but it was dope. We always wonder that. do they do all these cool things during?
Yeah, is it on purpose?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
I loved it though. I love to see it. And it's just, it felt good that she it got to her.
For sure, for sure. All right. So I'm gonna ask your top five wrestlers of all time. You know what? Top four. We're going Mount Rushmore has four faces. So four. They could be tag teams, but they have to count as one. So what are your top four wrestlers of all time? And then I'm gonna say ask your top four rappers of all time.
Top four. Well, definitely The Rock, Stone Cold, and I feel like 3, 4, and 5 could all be 50 different people. The Rock, Stone Cold, man. I really want to say Xavier Woods, and I'll say Triple H.
Okay.
All right. At one point, I thought Xavier Woods was going to really just take over the game. His mic skills are crazy. His moves, it's nuts.
I love his moves. I mean, I'm a little biased, but I love Xavier's moves, the mic skills, the selling is always great.
It's nuts.
This dude, he has so much emotion on his face, which is a great, great characteristic.
There was a match where he was just kicking out of everything. And I heard that the announcer called him the KO kid or something. So I thought that was going to be his next gimmick is he's just going to kick out of everything.
Kick out of everything.
I was hoping for it so bad, but no, they didn't go that way.
It didn't go that route. All right, so top four rappers.
Is this your favorite rappers, right?
Yeah. This is just your favorite.
Okay, so I'm going to go Jay-Z, Wale, Boogie, Westside Boogie, and Big Pun? Big Pun? I can listen to all four of them forever.
Okay. All right. It's
different.
It's a different list, but I hear those people in your music, so awesome. It actually makes sense.
Okay, good.
All right. So now I'm going to ask you a couple of rapid fire this or that questions.
All right.
What's the best looking belt in wrestling?
Just pick anyone?
Yeah.
I want to say, was it the ECW, the Big Gold. Ooh, Big Gold. Okay. Yeah, that's my favorite one.
Okay. Prince or Michael?
Michael Jackson.
All right. Jay-Z or Nas?
Jay-Z.
Cardi or Nicki?
Nicki, for sure.
Is it Uchi Wally or One Mic?
One Mic.
Biggie or Pac?
Pac. Pac. Mm-hmm.
All right, triple threat. Drake, Kendrick, or J. Cole?
Damn. Kendrick.
Okay. Beyonce or Rihanna?
Beyonce.
Okay.
That's tough.
That's a tough one. Flair or Bret Hart?
Bret Hart.
Okay.
Not a Flair.
I already know the answer to this one, but Stone Cold or Rock?
Rock. What am I doing? Rock. Rock.
Okay. Okay. WWF or WCW?
Oh, WWF.
Okay. NXT or AEW?
Dang. AEW.
Okay. ECW or the WWF Hardcore Division?
WWF. I'm going WWF. It's hard.
Okay. That's a tough one. New Day or Road Warriors?
New Day. Far.
Okay. All right.
New Day for sure.
Okay. And if you could have dinner with any person, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Dead or alive? Are we talking wrestlers or?
Anything. It could be wrestlers, rapper, it could be a hero in life, anybody.
Dang. The dead or alive question kind of makes it really, really, really hard.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people. Whitney Houston, Aaliyah, my uncle. Let's go with The Rock.
Just okay.
Soak some game up.
Yeah, I would like that.
He's almost like the most famous person on Earth right now.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's really crazy.
Have you been watching Young Rock?
Of course.
It's really dope. And like, throughout it, they're making this joke like he's running for president. And I'm just like, man, every time I watch the show, I'm like, he could really win.
It could happen. Like, it could really happen.
The fact that he did this, it's like, all right, maybe this means he won't ever really run for president.
Maybe he won't do it.
But like, he could totally.
It makes crazy sense, yeah, how it could work. I mean, we've seen who has done it at once. So.
Yeah, seriously. Like, so anything's possible, yo. All right, so I'm gonna wrap it up, but I just want to first of all thank you for this time.
For sure,
we're going to be hanging out at WrestleMania this weekend,
man.
So I have to ask you, what match are you looking forward to the most at WrestleMania?
The most? There's like three. I'm gonna go with Bianca Belair and Sasha.
Okay,
that's like the heaviest one, I think.
For sure. I've been waiting for this. I'm glad. I think they're going to make it a main event on, I think, the first night.
That would be nuts. Sure.
But yeah, that's going
to
be dope.
I kind of wanted it to go a different route, the Bianca and Sasha thing, but I'm cool with it.
Yeah. I think the build-up has been a little bit weird. It hasn't been as like rough as I wanted it to be.
The guy with the dreadlocks.
Yeah.
And what is his name?
Reginald.
Reginald. What?
Like, why is that? Why is that even a thing?
I don't get it.
But we'll see. It should be a really dope match. I'm looking forward to it. So yeah, we're gonna be out there. So anybody that is listening, you can catch myself or Teray out in Tampa, out and about. Right. I have a couple of events that I'll be doing, so I'll be dragging Teray along. First is GCW Presents For The Culture at midnight on Thursday. Generation Championship Wrestling, we run this town, is all day on Friday. And then Brunch with Effie at 11 a.m. on Saturday. So there's a lot going on. Go to megarain.com/shows for that. And we might even have some copies of the brand new Torrey album.
Yeah.
for the first time ever. So yeah, we'll see you out there, man. So Teray, let everybody know where to find you on socials, and then we can get about it.
You can find me on every platform, any social media at Teray Masters. It's T-O-U-R-E Masters. Just tap in, check out the music, and let's connect.
Dope, dope. Winning war is every day.
Every day.
Every single day. That's so real. All right. Thanks for the time, Teray.
Thank you, man.
Rocky White.
All right. Peace.
Why? Treat you like a trophy, skin like Naomi. Loving every piece of you, put everything on me. Every day you represent the second month. Every week you prove that you tough enough. Fighting on the daily for respect that should be handed to you. You don't want it if it's too easy. Trying to love you, you just gotta teach me. Inspiring and intimidating. It's not surprising you ain't in the dating. Focus on your future and the way it's shaping. Working for a title, you tired of waiting. Gotta be Bianca Strong. Wait for the world that you carry on. Little queens love you cause your braid long. Just can't figure out what's missing yet. Want every piece of love besides the kiss of death. When the night falls and your moon suck. Victory is sweet, who would've thought? Who would've thought you'd overcome it all? Relinquished title, still climbing after every fall. You the EST, fuck how they feel about it. They call it fake, but I see everything that's real about it. I do.
I had a show, I had a show that I am Bianca Belair, that I'm the EST of WWE, yeah. That I'm the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best. And now, she know exactly who I am.
Moonlight, spotlight, it's your life. I say moonlight, spotlight, it's your life. Make her feel your glow, girl. Go, girl, it's your world. Make her feel your glow, girl.
Glow, girl.
Go, girl.
Go, girl.
It's your world.
What?
What? I love seeing real ones team up all day. Belair and Boss like Ricky and Wale. A black queen that's here for me and she down the ride. Walk me down the ramp and watch me ringside. That Jimmy and Naomi love. That Montez and that B love. One bell ringing, it can be us. Up against whoever hating, ready for the fade when it's time. Staring at the future like the rest of many a sign. How's we grow inside the same field? Under shade from trees that have been here. Continue overcoming everything that's in your way. And if you ever need support, call up Teray. I've seen you fight harder than most. Guarded up close and dangerous, yet you need to shine. It's such you have to build off things that are meant to break you. Because hateful shit shouldn't happen at all. But we can't control that. But you control that BGM. That black girl magic you keep breathing in. Stress is heavy, but you need to win. Just let it go. Let it go. Let it glow. Black girl.